I just want to finish something up from your Testament Aleph, then we'll move on to the Mishnah, the Testament Beis and Gemara Chafam at Aleph. I'd like to try and see if we could, by the end of this month, get through the second parak, so we'll try and pick up the pace a little bit and see if we can get there. Also, these are some of these famous sugyas we have to touch on at some point. So just the last issue over here in your Testament Aleph, just to review where we left off on Thursday. If you don't have the sheet here, there's an extra sheet from Thursday. What we were discussing was the following. We want to discuss a case that was in a place where E.F. should blow Menatza. Remember, the Gemara said it was in a place where there's no way the animal cannot kick up stones. E.F. should blow Menatza. I think that was the language of the Gemara. But then, Ubata, it kicks stones and it goes and causes damage. So it was going to kick anyway, but, by walking normally. But it does something abnormal and it kicks it up in the air. So Rashi learned the Gemara that the Shai of the Gemara was that should we say that you're chayiv chati nezek, like regular tzoros, or should we say that you're chayiv revia nezek, because it's yesh shinoi with tzoros, just like if an animal does something abnormal, so then it's only chayiv chati nezek, but regularly gores and it's nezek sholem. If it's only a tam, it's chati nezek. Here it's something abnormal. So maybe it should go down to be half of what you normally are obligated to pay. Or maybe we should say there's no such thing as shinoi when it comes to tzoros. Tzoros itself is an exception to the rule of shinoi because there's something already paying chatzin nezek. So you should pay chatzin nezek. This is really echoing the shayla that we had at the top of your Testament Aleph. Is there yesh shinoi with tzoros or ain shinoi with tzoros? That's how Rashi learned that Gemara. Should you pay a revi or should you pay chatzin nezek? However, that's how Tosis learned the Gemara too. However, Tosis already says, don't learn like the Rush. What did the Rush say? The Rush learned the Gemara in the following way. The Rush said, we're talking about in this situation where you're in a Rishus HaRabim. So there's a new wrinkle introduced over here. And it's not just echoing an old Shaila, it's a new Shaila. What's the Shaila? The Shaila is maybe you should be putter entirely. Because it was in place, E.F. should be Lemonatza. It was going to kick, just by walking, it was going to kick up stones. So you should be putter in Rishus HaRabim. That's like Regel. Chatzinezek Tzoros is a total of Regel. It looks like Regel is Pater Peshus HaRabim. So this is Pater Peshus HaRabim. It's doing something which is normal. So to it's here, it's walking normally. It kicked up a stone. Okay, that's normal. So it's Pater because you're in a Peshus HaRabim. Oh, but then the animal did something abnormal. It was Bata. So maybe we should say, you're Chayiv. You don't get the Ptur of Peshus HaRabim. The Ptur of Peshus HaRabim is if you do something that's normal. Maybe you did something that was abnormal. The animal didn't have to kick. Punting a football. He didn't walk normally. So then, with EF, there was those pebbles all over the place. Of course, he's going to kick up some pebbles, put the Peshus HaRabim. But we should say, at the end of the day, it did something abnormal, so you should be Chayiv. So that's how the Rush learned the Shaila. But then, even within Chayiv, the Rush says, well, we'll depend. How much are you Chayiv? Will depend on the old Shaila that the Gemara had at the top of your Testament Aleph. We're not echoing that Shaila, we're building upon it. Maybe here you're Pater, maybe you're Chayiv, and even if you're Chayiv, one possibility is you should pay Chatzi Nezek, because ain't Shinui Litzoros, so even if it kicks in an abnormal fashion, you gotta pay the full amount, because you're already only paying half. Or maybe we should say it's Revia Nezek, it's half of what you would have otherwise had to pay, and done something normal here, did Shinui. Okay, so that's how it's really a two-pronged suffix according to the Rush. Right. Not that consequential. However, then the Rush says something that is very consequential. The Rush says, what if the person grabs, if you were on the injured party here, what would you do if you were smart? You would grab the Chatzi Nezek. I would take the animal, take a payment, seize payment of Chatzi Nezek. So I take it, I turn the tables on you. So the Rush says, once the guy seizes the Chatzi Nezek, so then the owner of the shar can't take it back. Because he has a legitimate claim to Chatzi Nezek. He has a legitimate claim to Chatzi Nezek. And even though there's a legitimate claim that it's not Chatzi Nezek, it's Revia Nezek. And maybe even he's Pater entirely. There's two other possibilities here. Could be it's Revia Nezek, could be it's Pater entirely. Even if you're Chai, maybe it's Revia Nezek, and maybe you're not even Chai at all. Maybe you're Pater here because the Rosh Hashanah around him and there was no way it wasn't going to kick up stones. Nonetheless, the Rosh says once the guy turns the tables and he grabs the Chatzi Nezek, you cannot take it away from him because he has a legitimate claim. Even though there's two legitimate counter-arguments. There's one counter-argument, maybe it was Revia Nezek because it was Shinoi. It was Bata, did something abnormal. And maybe Yeshino, you know, Shino Litzros, and it should be Rav Yehuda. And there's a good argument to say, since it was in the Shusha Rabbi, you're potter entirely, even though there's two legitimate counter arguments, once he grabs the money, you can't take it from him. So what the basic rule that emerges from the Rush is, you cannot be Motzi Mammon, Ein Motzi and Mammon, Bisfeik Sveika, with a Sveik Sveika, with a double down. Because even though, once the guy grabs the money, which he has a legitimate claim to, you can't. He takes it, you can't take it back, even though you have a Sveik Sveika. Maybe it wasn't Chatzin, maybe it would be a Nezik. And maybe you're not Chatzin at all. Maybe you were Pachit, because you're in Shusha Rabban. No, you can't take it back. Ein Motzi and Mammon, Bisfeik Sveika. Mammon, sorry. You can't take money with a Sveik Sveika. Why not, Deborah? Why can't you take money with a Sveik Sveika? It's a good reason. Motzi mechaver ova raya, but you have to explain it a little bit better. It's because of the following Gemara in Vavim et Aleph. Well, how does Sveik Sveika work in the first place? If you remember, we discussed this, I think, once. More than once. Two possible explanations for Sveik Sveika, but the traditional one is that it works mitam roiv. If I have one suffix, let's say we take a typical box chart, yeah? I have one aser mutter, and then aser mutter. You know, this is the first Iser. Even if this is Aser, you know, there's another reason to consider that perhaps it's Mutter. So the only place where you get, you know, a conclusive Iser is here. Here would be Mutter, here certainly Mutter, here is the Tzad that it's Mutter. Either one of those fakes is true. So the only place where you have that it's for sure Aser is in this box. So Sveik Sveik is Mutter, Mitam Rov, because if either one of these sub Sveikas are Mutter, your situation is permitted, even if one of them might be Usur. So therefore, if you have a Sveik Sveika, so it's typically permitted because Mitam Rov of the logical, theoretical possibilities will yield a Kula. Fine, that's how Sveik Sveika works. So Sveik Sveika, meaning, let's say over here, there's a Sveik Sveika that is not Chatzin Nezek, because maybe it's Revi Nezek, Yeshino Litzoros. And even if there's no Shino Litzoros, there's no such thing. And if you would be chayv and be chatzin nezek, maybe you're not chayv at all. Maybe you're pater. So over here, what we would plug it in, just because let's not deal with generic yisurim, right? Maybe yesh shinui l'toros or ain shinui l'toros. So it should be 1/4 or 1/2. I'm not sure if there's shinui. And then over here, it's in Rosh HaRabbim. So maybe you're pater, maybe you're chayv. So then our possibilities will be different. So what would this yield over here? Does the guy get to keep his Chatzin Nezek or not? What is the only scenario where he gets to keep his Chatzin Nezek is here. Here, he doesn't get to keep his Chatzin Nezek because it's Rishus HaRabim. Maybe he's Pater. And here, he shouldn't get to keep his Chatzin Nezek at all. Maybe it's a quarter of a Nezek. Maybe he's Pater. He shouldn't get to keep it. And here, if there's Yesh Shinoi, so even if he's Chayv in Rishus HaRabim, Yesh Shinoi Gatzroa, so he shouldn't get to keep his Chatzin Nezek either. The only time that gets to keep his Chatzin Nezek, if you assume that there's no Ptur Rishus HaRabim over here, because it did something that was, abnormal. And Ein Shinoi L'Tzoros, that's the only scenario where he gets to keep it. So why does he get to keep it? There's a Sveik Sveika against, and the Rosh says, Ein Motzi Mammon based on a Sveik Sveika, because Sveik Sveika works mitam Rov. Rov of the scenarios would indicate he doesn't get to keep it, but he doesn't get to, the right to take back the money. But generally speaking, we're not Motzi and Mammon based on a Rov. Sveik Sveika works mitam roiv, so you can't extract money from somebody else based on a roiv. That's based on this Gemara men vavim et aleph. Chaver, turn to the Gemara men vavim et aleph. The Gemara discusses the following scenario. Five lines from the bottom. Men vavim et aleph. Ha'emer ha'maycha shark l'chaveroi. Person sells an animal to his friend. He walks into Petco, buys an animal. V'nim senagchan, it turns out to be a violent animal and kills somebody or, gores other property. Rav Amar Reza Mekachtos. I went into Petco. I didn't know that this was, some homicidal rabbit or something, And it's crazy. So I want my money back. So Rav says, you get your money back. Shmuel Amar Yachol Sheyomelo L'Shkita Macharitiv. I sold you the rabbit. I didn't want to tell you it was homicidal. I thought you were shechting it and you were going to use it, for a barbecue or something. I didn't realize you wanted it as a pet or you wanted it, as a domesticated sheep or goat or, to keep in your barn for little kids to ride on. I thought you were going to shecht it and make supper. So I didn't bother to tell you the temperament of the animal. It doesn't matter to you. The guy said, that's not what I meant. I meant, okay.
So it says Shmuel, it's not a mekartos. I could say I sold it to you for shkita. So Amai says, "Well, what are you talking about? How can we have a machlekes about this? What did the guy buy it for?" Next, he gavin the zav and the radi. He gavin the zav. Does the guy own, you know, an amusement park for children? Does he own a schlacht house? So that will pretty much indicate what the guy was planning to use it for. If the guy never shechted an animal's life, how can he argue? I thought you were going to shecht this little sheep. If the guy, you know, if the guy has no amusement park, how could he possibly say I was going to, you know, open it up for kids and start a petting zoo? I mean, come on. Let's check what the guy is. He gavered his oven. Menaxi, he gavered his oven l'raja. Maybe the guy bought it to shecht. He gavered his oven l'nechsasa. I'm sorry, maybe the guy bought it l'raja, which is, I think, for, you know, as a shepherd. He gavered his oven l'nechsasa. He bought it for his meat. Lo tzricha. He gavered his oven l'ha v'l'ha. He owns both. He owns both the schlacht house and a amusement park. So we don't know. Okay, but let's see. You know, animals sell for different prices. An animal that's domesticated will sell for one price. An animal that's for meat will sell for a different price. Will sell for a much cheaper price. But next, he dummy the radia. He dummy nesasa lenesasa. What was the price that he paid? There's a different market for these things. No, it's because the meat got more valuable and it rose to the price where, you know, even an animal for shkita all of a sudden became just as valuable. Meat was scarce. Became just as valuable as an animal that was used for amusement or for shepherding purposes. Fine, skip to Mevavim Abayis, three lines down. The Gemara explains in the name of Rav. Rav Amar Hareza Mekachtos, Zil Basar Ruba. Rav says, this is a Mekachtos. How many people buy animals? Tons of people buy animals. Ruba the Inchi the Raja. How many people buy it to Shech for supper? How many guys walk into Petco, can I have something for supper? They don't do that. So they're not going to do that. But Ruba de Inchi Laradio Hudazavni. Vishmuel Omar, Yochel Shiyomelo. It's not a Mekachtos. Don't tell me rogue people don't want an animal that has a positive temperament because most people buy animals are going to keep it around and not use it for supper with the temperament doesn't matter. Shmuel Omar, Yochel Shiyomelo, Lishchita Macharte, Veloy Azlinam Basaruba. When you want to take my money, you want your money back. It's a Mekachtos. You want your money back. You want to take money out of my pocket and give it back to you. You better prove it, and a roiv is not considered to be proof. You want to take my money, you better be conclusive, not speculative, not probable proof. You got to bring conclusive proof. Not a shadow of a doubt, it's an American language. But, you know, you got to bring conclusive proof that this money is yours. And a roiv is not good enough. One could imagine a scenario where roiv would be good enough, a 99.999% roiv might be good enough. But we're talking about over here, you know, how many people bought as pets, how many people bought to shech. It's probably 75-25, something like that, 60-40. That's not good enough to be mighty mamen ein hocham b'mamen achar roiv. So back to over here. We understand the rush very well. Says the Pnei Yeshua. Why did the Rush say you can't take money? A guy seizes the Chatzi Nezek, which he has a legitimate claim to. There is a possibility that it is his. Now the owner, the person who caused the damage, wants to take it back. And he's a Sfeik Sfeika, he says. I have a Sfeik Sfeika, you're not entitled to this money. Number one, maybe there's Shinoi with Tzoriris. And number two, it happened to Rosh Hashanah, you shouldn't get anything. So it's a Sfeik, you're definitely not entitled to Chatzi Nezek. Or, you know, there's two reasons why you're not entitled to it. It's fake, faker, says the Rush. You can't take money out of someone's hand who took it. When he has a legitimate claim to it, you can't take money back with a fake, faker. You might see in Maman, based on a fake, faker works me time. Roiv, the scenarios would indicate, you know, in one direction, it doesn't matter. Roiv is not good enough when you need to extract money from a party who has it, from a person who has a legitimate claim to the money. You can't take money out of his hands, based on a sveik sveika works me time arrive, in hocham imamun achar arrive. Fine, the rush is great. The rush really makes a lot of sense. The problem is, there's a famous Tysus and Ksubis that seems to say just the opposite. What is Tysus discussing in Ksubis? The old scenario of a husband who wakes up after the wedding and he says, Pesach batzuach matzasi, this woman was not a psula. So the Gemara questions, do we believe him at all? Do we believe him? Was he arguing that she was Mizana Tafta? There's a year between the Eris and the Nisuin. If she had relations in between that time, she'll be prohibited to him. So the Gemara says, so he wants to say that she, you know, had relations underneath, you know, during the period we were married. She's an Eishi Shazinsa. We're prohibited to live with one another. And of course, as a consequence of that, she will lose her ksuba. She'll lose, you know, he'll get to keep his money. He won't have to pay her the ksuba. So Gemara says, well, you know what? We're really not sure this husband knows what he's talking about. We're not sure that the husband knows what he's talking about. That's what Gemara ends up saying. Then, how would this chassan know Pesach Patuach Matzasi, inexperienced chassan? Well, what does he know, Pesach Patuach Matzasi? How would he even know Pesach Patuach Matzasi? Gemara's not sure we believe him. If he says there was no blood, that's something you don't have to be an uber chacham to figure out, that there's no blood, maybe there's no dam sulam. But he says, Pesach Patuach Matzasi. So then, how would he, we're not sure we believe him in the first place. We're not sure we believe him in the first place. But the Gemara says, even though we're not sure we believe him, he is Ne'aman, even if we're not sure we believe him, and he might still be permitted to his wife. He can't ask her, you know, he can't prohibit them one to another because of his claim, Pesach Matzuach Matzasi. We're not sure he knows what he's talking about. Nonetheless, the Gemara says, even once he submits that claim, even though we're not really sure he knows what he's talking about, we're not sure, nonetheless, she loses her ksuba. That for sure he's believed. He might not be believed to make her an Eishes Ish with regards to, he can't administer Mises Beis Din because of his conclusion. You need two witnesses for that. But even to prohibit them one to the other, maybe he's not believed. But he would be believed, or we can trust him when it comes to being mafsid her, to be mafsid her the ksuba. So Taisa says, how can we deprive her of her ksuba because of this ridiculous claim? What's his claim? Pesach Patuach Matzasi. Yeah, but maybe he's not sure. You know, maybe he doesn't know what he's talking about. And even if he does know what he's talking about, Pesach Patuach Matzasi, there's another possibility over here. Maybe she was Nensa. She was raped. In which case, she wouldn't lose her ksuba. And she wouldn't be prohibited labayla. So Taisa says she has a sveik sveika to get her money. What's her sveik sveika? Maybe you don't know what you're talking about. And maybe, even if you do know what you're talking about, I was Nensa. So she is a sveik sveik to get her ksuba. How can the Gemara say we believe him with this ridiculous claim? Pesach Patuach Matzasi, chasam, what does he know? So he's not going to be believed to prohibit them one to the other. He's believed to, that she loses her ksuba. Frektosis is a sveik sveik, she should get her money. Number one, maybe you don't know what you're talking about. And maybe even if you do, maybe it happened, she was Nensa. So that's what Tosis asks over here. Look over here, Tosis ksubis. Mashim hayabala bezen haynem ala hafzik ksubasa. Sounds like even though we don't trust him, he knows what he's talking about, she would lose her ksuba. Afo pishala Israel of Lay and Emon, even though to Aser, you know, them one to the other, would not be believed Mishum Dislamay Mashem and Nobaki. Maybe you don't even know what you're talking about, Pesach Patuach. This is on the sheet from yesterday. Here, if you don't have it, take one. Ois Gimel. Anyone who doesn't have one, please take. Mishum de Islamay Mashem and Nobaki Pesach Patuach Vukman Bekeskes Heter. But says Tyson, Mikal Makam Ksuba Hipsida. She loses the ksuba. Maybe he doesn't know what he's talking about. He's not a bucky. And even if he is a bucky, maybe she was raped in the interim between the Eris and the Nisun, in which case she doesn't lose the ksuba. And she's not prohibited to him. So what is Tosis arguing? Chevra, what is Tosis arguing? Tosis is arguing, who has the money now, Chevra? Your husband is about to, you know, needs to pay. We're just trying to figure out, does he have to pay the ksuba or not? Who's got the money now? Who has the cash? He has it. What does Taisa say? And what does the Gemara say? She loses it once he submits a claim, Pesach Patuach. Taisa says, no, she should continue to get her money from him. With what? A sveik sveika. What's her sveik sveika? Maybe you don't know what you're talking about, Pesach Patuach. And even if you do, maybe I was raped between the Eretzin and the Nisuin. So give me my money. Say it in the crudest possible terms, right? So Tisus is asking, she should get her money with a sveik sveika. Let's just put it up over here. The Gemara says, Subis, if the husband submits a claim of Pesach Pasuach, Neman, the Hafzik Subasa. Tisus, Frek the Kasha, why? Am I? She should get her money. Why? Suffolk. One. He's not a bucky. Ain't no bucky. He doesn't know what he's talking about. Suffolk two. Even if he does, maybe Shema Nensa. She was raped in between. She doesn't lose a ksuba.
So Tosfos says, why does she lose her ksuba? She should get her ksuba with a sveik sveika, meaning even though the money now is in the hands of the Baal, yeah, we want to take it, give it to Ishtar, with what? With a sveik sveika. That's a problem. The Rosh said, we don't have moitzi mama based on a sveik sveika. And he's right. Because ain't hokum and mamon acharov. You can't take money out of someone else's hand, but the roiv, you need a better raya than that. Not just 60% that you're right. You need conclusive proof. Sometimes it says over here, oh, give her her money. Give me my money. I got a fake sveika. Maybe you don't know what you're talking about. Even if you do, maybe it was an answer. So he says, we should have given her money. Why are we giving her money? You're not moitzi mamon with a fake sveika. Ain't hokum and mamon acharov.
So that's the kasha the Pnei Yoshua asks on Tosfos. Look over here, he's Dawid, the Pnei Yoshua asks, V'kasha d'amai mafsidik subas v'avis fake sveika v'chule, according from Tosfos. So the Pnei Yoshua already here, you know, which is important, says, Afal pi she'eni kedai lahasig al devrayim. It says, like, I'm not worthy being masig on the words of Tosfos. V'komakum ho v'yotzu lodom v'davar chadosh. Tosfos here is saying something we don't find in Shas. How could Tosfos say the wife should take her money from the husband with a sveik sveika? We never find it can be mighty mama with a sveik sveika. I never found such a thing in the early Rishon. It's wrong. In fact, the Rosh disagrees. He says, I have no choice but to disagree with Tosfos. Okay, he says we can't be mighty mama with a sveik sveika. The sveik sveika avikamo rov v'mkein hakaimon dein holchem and mamon achar rov. Famous kasha on Tosfos here. So chaver, there's an equally famous answer from the Shev Shmaitza, from the Ksois HaChosh in his commentary called the Shev Shmaitza. His seven essays on Lamdisha topics. So Shev Shmaitza says like this. He says the Rosh is right with regards to every obligation, monetary obligation. You can't take money with a sveik sveika. Sveik sveika is a roiv. You can't be mighty mama with a roiv. Ksuba is different. Why? Because Chazal instituted this obligation to pay. So that's why we even describe it as losing her ksuba. What did she lose? She didn't get it yet. It's like counting your chickens. But how could she be mafsid her ksuba? She doesn't have it. The answer is she does. Because once Chazal obligated the husband to pay it, it's as if it's paid and it's not in his pocket. Whose pocket is it in? Her pocket. It's as if it's already paid. So that's why Tosfos says she should not lose her ksuba with a sveik sveika because she has a sveik sveika to keep it. Ah, how could she get her money with a sveik sveika? The answer is she's not getting her money. She's keeping what was always hers. Because the ksuba always belongs to her. So says the Shev Shmaitz of Yerozvav, Harei the ksuba havi kegavoy, azlinam basaruba. Here, it's already as if it's collected. That's why we can take it with a rov. V'hu adin, this fake sveika mahani bay. Dehavile kerov, mahani nami v'hoisi ksuba. Because the ksuba is considered as if it's hers. V'hainu kemot shekosva, taiz zayin lama dafiu b'sveik sveika mafsa da ksubasa. How could she lose her ksuba with a sveik sveika? Mishum de mukmina magmoina b'chaz kasi v'hainu de loymer gam b'ksuba de muki memona b'chaz kasmari. This belongs to her. Why? Because Chazal said you have to pay. Chazal said you have to pay. So that's why over here might be different than over there. Right. Famous kasha from our Rosh to that Tosfos in Ksubas. And that's the answer to Shev Shmaitza. All right, Chaver. Let's continue on. Look over here, Mishnah, your testament base. If forgive me, we're not going to read every Gemara, otherwise we won't accomplish what we need. So we'll have to skip parts. It might be just Chazara. So look, the Mishnah begins your testament base, a whole new topic. Ketzer Hashen Mu'edes Lechos Haroila. We began the parak with Ketzer Regel. What's the normal way for an animal to damage in regal, where it would be patur and shesarab, and we discussed if it's walking and it hits it with the things that are on it, and all this story. So ketzer hashein now, what's considered to be shein? Mu'edes lechol saroyla. When is it, what is the normal hezek of shein? Is when the animal eats things which are typical that the animal would eat. Habehema muedes, and then he's obligated to pay. Habehema muedes lechol peris yirakas. Animals, it's common for them to eat peris and yirakas, and you have to pay nezek shalem if it ate peris and yirakas. Where? In the rishus of the nizak. My animal wanders in, vakals in to your rishus, eats your peris, have to pay nezek shalem. Och leksuso kelim, if it comes and it eats your laundry, mishalem chatzi nezek. That's abnormal. What kind of animal chews on laundry? Dogs chew on bones. They don't chew on laundry. I don't think. Chatzi nezek. Why do you pay chatzi nezek? It's mishun. It's weird. Bamed varam amurim b'shus hanizak. When is the, at least the first one, when is it true that you don't have to, I'm sorry, you have to pay nezek shalim for eating pears in your ruckus? That's in the rishus of the nizak. It goes into your property and starts eating your tomatoes and your snap peas. Avar b'shus harabim potter. You leave your produce in the middle of the b'shus harabim, and my animal comes along and eats it. Potter. Vimnenis, at least on the discussion, the Gemara over here in Chafam and Alaf, are you potter even on the laundry in the b'shus harabim, or only on the snap peas and on the vegetables? So we paskin like Shmuel, that it's only in the snap peas and the vegetables. Okay, fine. So the snap peas and the vegetables, you left it in the Shus HaRabim, my animal comes and eats it, Potter, Shein, and Rego, Potter, B'Shus HaRabim. But listen to this, Chavra, okay? We know you're Potter, B'Shus HaRabim. What does that mean? I leave a picnic basket on a park bench. Your dog comes along and eats my picnic. You say to me, sorry, you left your picnic out here in the Shus HaRabim, my animal came and ate it, you know. See you later. Potter? No. You don't have to pay Nezek Shalem, but in Nenes, Mishlem is Mashanenes. If the animal benefited, now you don't have to feed the animal lunch because he ate my picnic. You benefited. You got to pay me. Kate said, Mishlem is Mashanenes. How do you pay that which you benefited? When do you pay that which you benefited? If it eats something which is mamish in the middle of the Shus HaRabim, you got to pay, not Nezek Shalem, but you have to pay the benefit that you derive. Mitzide HaRechav, if it's on the side of the road, meaning in my store booth, let's say you have over here, I don't know how it's legal, but you have some of these bodegas that put their vegetables on the sidewalk and then they box it in like it's somehow part of their store. But if the animal goes in there and starts eating off what you have, at least in the upper side, we have a lot of stores that have fruit produce on the outside of the store, and the animal walks over and starts eating apples out of the apple cart, no, that's not Rishus HaRabim anymore. That's Rishus HaNizak. You're obligated to pay. Mishlam is Mashazika. You have to pay Nezek Shalim. Mi Pesach HaChanus, if it's from the doorway and out, I guess here the Mishnah assumed that was not part of the store. Mishlam is Mashananis. You only have to pay that which you benefited. Mi Toich HaChanus, inside of the store, Mishlam is Mashazika. You have to pay that damage that it caused. That's the Rishus of the Nizak. So where's Rishus HaRabim? Really means in the middle of the town square, not inside of a store, even if it's adjacent to the Rishus HaRabim. So if I leave my food, chevra, common thing, guy leaves his picnic on the park bench, animal comes along and starts, you know, eating my picnic, you don't have to pay me Nezek Shalem, it's in Rishus HaRabim. You left food in the middle of Rishus HaRabim, you know, that's a dangerous thing to do. Unguarded, but you do have to pay me what you benefited from. How much is it considered to be that which you benefited? So look over here, Chesem, Chafam, all the way at the bottom. Look at the two dots. This is going to take us to a fascinating sugya. So the Gemara asks, Vekama, how much is Mashanen? It's Mashanezika, we know. What it was worth, you have to pay the damages. You came into my property, you ate tomatoes and snap peas. What it would sell in the marketplace is what you have. We discussed it at length. How do you assess value? You damage my value, you got to pay me. Over here, well, how do you pay that which you benefited? So, Vekama, Rabba Omar Demei Amir. Anybody know what Demei Amir is?
Straw.
These animals eat straw. What did it eat of mine? Even if it ate fancy food for animals, which is barley, even if it ate barley, or Alpo, or something that costs a lot of money. Nonetheless, all you have to do is pay me straw. I don't think dogs eat straw. We're talking here about like barn animals, you know, cows, and they eat straw. So all you have to pay me is the straw. Rabba Omar, Demei Sarim Bezol. You have to pay, you know, the same species of that which it ate, but only the amount that you would have normally fed the animal. Let's say because the animal is eating my food, it overeats. So it eats a ton of barley. I wouldn't have normally fed the animal that that much barley. It's how much I would have paid for it in the marketplace. How much barley I would have paid for in the marketplace to feed it to the animal. That's what I have to pay. The cheapest barley on the market, but you can't get away with straw. If it ate barley, you have to give him cheap barley. Tani kavasi de rabba, tani kavasi de rova. Rabbi's like rabba, Rabbi's like rova. Tani kavasi de rabba. Reb Shimon ben Yochai Omer and Mishalem Esel Dmei Ami Bilvad. This animal got a lunch out of it. I was never going to give my animal, caviar for lunch. See, even though it ate caviar, I don't have to pay you the value of the caviar, or even the cheapest caviar. It would be beluga or something. I don't have to pay you the cheapest. I don't have to pay you anything. I pay you a straw when I would have fed my animal. The fact that you left beluga over here on your picnic in the Central Park. Fine. Tanika Vasa, I'm not paying you that. Tanika, what did I benefit? I benefited lunch. You got me out of feeding lunch. I would have given straw for lunch. Tanika Vasa the Rava. We also have a breast like Rava. Menes, Mishalemis, Mashanenis. If you benefit, you have to pay that which you benefited. Ketza, Ochla, Kavo, Kabai, Menomim, Taj, Tesham, Demeo, No, Ainim, Kama, Odom, Rides, Lahaka, Behemto, Dover, Roila. That, I wasn't going to give him this much. How much I would have given him, and the cheapest kind, Alpha Pisha, the Rugal, the Fika, Kakla Chita, the Dover Rola. Okay, fine, we'll get to that in a second. Because I have to pay him, cheap kind of, or the amount that I would have fed him of this food item. But I can't get away with paying you just straw. I can get away with paying you the cheap, kind of this item, and the smallest, amount that I would have fed for lunch. I wasn't going to give him a whole 5 jars of caviar, but that's what you left on the park bench. So I don't have to give him 5. You pay you for 5 jars. I would have given him a jar, and even then cheaper caviar. So that's what I'll pay you for. But I can't get away with paying you straw. All right. Let's say then I don't benefit at all. Let's say I never in a million years was going to feed my animal now. It got its 3 squares a day. But you left a lemon meringue pie, a strawberry shortcake, a part of your picnic on the park bench in Central Park. And my animal comes along and eats this. I would rather the animal not have eaten this. This is not food for the animal. I was never going to feed him now. It's in between meals. Do you have to pay anything? Any benefit at all? So the fikach achla chitin davi roila patura. You don't have to pay. You only have to pay if you benefited. Here you didn't benefit. If you got me out of paying lunch, I have to pay for the lunch. According to Rabba, I'll pay what I would have fed him for lunch, not what you fed him for lunch. According to Rabba, you have to pay what you fed him for lunch, even if it's more expensive, but a minimal amount or the cheapest kind. But let's say you didn't get me out of paying anything. I was never going to feed the animal now, and what you fed him is not good for the animal. So then I don't have to pay you at all, because I didn't benefit anything. So Gemara continues. Amalei Rav Chizkiya l'Rami Bar Chama. He says, Lo havas gabon be'urta. Last night you weren't here in the base medrash. You missed an important discussion. The Ba'ilan Mili Ma'oyasa, we had a Gavaldiga Tumo in learning. So, Amma, my Mili Ma'oyasa, tell me, new, what did you talk about? Amma, we had the following Shiloh. Hadar Bechatzachavero Shalomidaitoi. A guy squats in his friend's property without his knowledge. We know what squatting is. Tarach Lahalas Iskar Ain Sarach. You have to pay him or don't you have to pay him? One guy's got a house for sale. He's in the real estate market. I know it's empty. I go and I live there. Real estate agents do this. I know it's vacant. So I'll live there. Do I owe you rent? Not honest real estate agents. That's what I'm putting that way. It's definitely wrong, but okay. But you do it. You got to pay rent or no rent? What's the case? Let's say it's not for rent. Guy's got a pied-a-terre. It's not for rent. It's a vacation home. Second home, you're not in Paris, over here in Manhattan. The guy you know is in Eretz Yisrael. He spends 10 months out of the year in Eretz Yisrael. He has no interest in renting out his house when he's away. So, the Gemara says, it's not for rent. This guy never would have rented. This person who's living there had no intention of renting a house. He would have bummed, off somebody else if he weren't able to find this pied-à-terre to stay in, right? He was going to stay. There's no way this guy was paying. He's living on the cheap. So you have no intention of paying rent, and this guy had no intention of collecting rent. Zeloy nana v'zeloy choser. Now, of course, you benefited, Chevra. You did benefit. This is not called a monetary benefit because you didn't get me out of paying rent because I never was going to pay rent. I was just going to crash by somebody else. Now I crashed here. That's not called a halachic benefit. That's like the animal that wasn't going to eat now and he eats your food. Of course, he benefited. He has nutrition they didn't have previously, but you didn't save me any money because I was never going to feed the animal anyway. Fine. So it's not called a monetary benefit. Zeloi, none of it, zeloi chaser. And this guy didn't lose out any money. Why not? Let's say the guy lives in the apartment. There is no such thing as a guest who lives like this, but a guest who mamish makes no mess. Mamish nothing. Yada, b'shichwa, b'kuma, you wouldn't know that he was ever there. So then, kuli amalo pligi yopater. Hey, you hear what we just said? This guy was going to crash somewhere else. He wasn't going to pay rent. You didn't get me out of paying a hotel room. And this guy has an apartment that's empty. So we put two and two together. Let him stay here. You won't know about it. All good. No requirement to pay rent. I'm going to have to delve into that further. When is that? What? Can we allow that? The person should just barge into someone else's house because it's empty anyway? Okay. But what about Al-Bukhata the Kaimaliyag? But there, for sure, you're potter from paying. Al-Bukhata the Kaimaliyag, the governor of the Megar. You have a chotzer that, this guy is looking for a tenant. And this guy is a potential tenant looking to pay. And he sees that, Adahaki Vahaki, this apartment is empty. So I say, you know what? I need a place to stay. This guy's looking for a tenant. I'll live here until the tenant comes. Sigmar says, no, there for sure you have to pay. This guy benefited, and this guy lost out. How did this guy lose out? The answer is, says Tosfos, look at the bottom Tosfos. The kolzman shoroyin at zeh, I'm in the base, I'm a bakshim, and I'll ask here. And the doorman sees coming and going. He's going to tell people the apartment already was taken. And no one's going to get, the guy will never get a tenant, because the doorman keeps telling everybody, no, someone took the apartment already, because he sees me coming and going. So I made him lose out. He didn't get a tenant, and I benefited in a monetary benefit because otherwise I was going to rent somewhere else. So Sigmar says, either way, there's no suffix. What kind of discussion did you have? If this guy's looking for a tenant, and I'm not a potential tenant that he was never going to pay, I was going to crash somewhere else, you don't have to pay. And if this guy is looking for a tenant, and I am a potential tenant that would have paid, I benefited in a monetary benefit, then I do have to pay. Mar says, no, the shaila is the following. This guy's got a vacation home. But I am a potential tenant looking for a place to stay. Vigavard over the Magar, my. I benefited and you didn't lose. Matzi Amale, my chasarticha. Can I say to you, you didn't lose. You weren't looking for a tenant anyway. Odilma, Matzi Amar, ho is hanis. You benefited. You were looking for a place to rent and now you got out of having to pay. So since I saved you money, pay up. We'll get to that. But what did the Gemara assume is a davar pashut over here? That if you benefit, and if this guy loses, you have to pay. If you don't benefit, meaning you weren't going to pay anyway, and this guy doesn't lose, he wasn't looking for a tenant anyway, you're potter. What's the shaila? Zenen of Zelo Kasar. I benefited and he didn't lose. What's the one possibility not discussed here? There's one permutation we didn't discuss.
He loses and you don't.
How could he have such a situation? Of course he can. He's looking for a tenant, and I am a crasher. How does he lose by me staying there? Because the doorman will see someone coming and going. But either way, I'm a squatter. Yeah, there are people, right? He's a moocher. The guy's never paying a dime. No. But you are looking for a tenant. You lose, and I don't benefit because I was never going to pay. What's the halacha there? So look at Tosfos. Even if you have a person who's looking for a tenant, the gavur deloy elva lemega on the squatter is a moocher. He's never going to pay. Havi matzi lemema de potter. He's potter. Kevin shaloi nene. You didn't derive a monetary benefit because I was never going to pay rent. For a minute, you caused your friend to lose. I'm looking for a tenant for 2 years, and I never get one because you're squatting in the stupid apartment. I lost rent for 2 years. Why don't you have to pay me? Even though you caused me a loss, that's groma ben azikin. You didn't damage my property. You caused me to lose. But you didn't do it directly. How'd you cause me to lose by living in there? You didn't scare. You didn't damage the walls. Just because you were standing there, no one came. That's indirect, Potter. Tysus compares it to afil girsho chavero mibeso. Let's say you're a store owner. I chase you out of your store, and you miss a whole day of running your business. Can you send me a bill for your net profits that day? Because I caused. Let's say I walk into a trading floor and pull the fire alarm because I know there's an IPO is about to happen. Right? Not giving any ideas, right? So can they? So of course, illegal for sure to be sure. But let's say in a court of halacha, the Beis Din, could you pay? You know, sue me for losses. I didn't cause you. I didn't break anything. I caused you to run out of your business because you thought there was a fire there, which was a false alarm. Or I lock you out. I change the locks. Yeah, on the day of the IPO, I change the locks in your hedge fund, and you don't get anything. Huh? So can you sue me? If you gear shall chaver mi base of an all delos be fun of ain't that a grama biyama? Says Tosis, no, that's a grama. Your putter. So to here, I'm living in the apartment. You're looking for a tenant. I'm scaring them away by living there. But that's Grama Ben Azikin. So I'm Potter. One second. Is that a good argument, Chavi? You like Tosis' argument? Is that Grama Ben Azikin? Sounds like it. Not bad. I think Grama Ben Azikin. I put a padlock. You want to sell your house and I padlock it. Now, no, the people can't come in to see it. You're going to sue me? Maybe for damaging and putting on the padlock, but that's about it. What else can you do? I sabotaged your open house. I could put like signs with arrows, you know, all over. No one knows where to go. Can't sue me. Couldn't sell your house. So Dovir says Tosis like that. But what? One second. Let's just think about this for a minute. Says the Pnei Yehoshua. 1 minute. Then why am I chayv? Zenana v'zeh choser. Let's say I am a tenant, yeah? And you're looking for a tenant. And because I'm there, no one comes. Do I have to pay? I am a potential tenant. I'm looking for a place to stay. You happen to have an empty apartment and you're looking for a tenant. But you don't know that I'm squatting there. Do you have to pay? Yes. Why? Because I benefited and you lost. Do I have to pay because you lost? Or do I have to pay because I benefited? You would think it's both. But says the Pnei Yehoshua, according to Tosis, it's really not both. Because what about in the situation? Yeah, where it's zeh lo nene v'zeh choser. I'm writing on the board. Let's over here, yeah? Zeh nene v'zeh choser. Chayev? Yes. There's two parts to that. Let's isolate them. Are you paying because of the Zenen, or are you paying because of the Zechasa? Maybe it's both. Is it both? If it is both, so we need to figure out how that works. But let's say about over here, Ze Lo Nene. V'Zechasa. What did Taisa say? Ze Lo Nene V'Zechasa. What did Taisa say? Potter, said Taisa. Why? Because yes, it's true, I scared somebody away. It's Groma Ben Azikin. So, are you chayav because of the zeh koser? No. How do you know? Because when you have zeh lo nene, but you do have zeh koser, you're potter. So zeh koser does not make you chayav. So let's take this out of the equation. You're not chayav because of that. You're chayav why? Because of the zeh nene. How could it be chayav because of the zeh nene if you didn't lose anything? If your loss here doesn't count at all, because that's Groma Ben Azikin. How could I be chayiv because I derived a benefit if you didn't lose? How do I know he didn't lose? Because when you lose alone, Tosfos says you're potter because Grandpa Ben Zikin. Look over here, that's the kasha Pnei Yehoshua asked. He's just trying to make heads or tails over here, Tosfos. Says the Pnei Yehoshua, Reisago, Perush. Dimashe kosev tchigo she'eno nene, ein masmiko potro. The rova mazikin gam came in nemen. If we were dealing with Hezek Chevra, if my animal smashes into your car, did I benefit from my animal smashing into your car? No. But I damaged you. So you can be chayiv for zeh koser, even though it's not zeh nene. My animal gores your animal, I'm chayiv. Because it's zeh koser, even though it's not zeh nene. If you hukka chayovim, kevin shalom, mafsid. Since you lost, the ka kosvu, do kosher hefsid. Therefore, Tosfos has to say over here, it's not a hefsid. Kevin, the animal grama ben azikin. But I'm about kasha. Aren't you going to say that the zeh koser here is a grama ben azikin? Im kein chashvino le grama. Why did we say in Zeh Nene and Zeh Choser for sure your Chayiv came in the Choshev the Chayiv the Zeh Choser came in the Gromu? The Zeh Choser is irrelevant. So if the Zeh Choser is irrelevant, then Zeh Nene is the equivalent of Zeh Choser is the equivalent of Zeh Nene v'Zeh Lo Choser. What's that loch of the Akava? Zen and Zen lo chaser? That's the suffix of the Gemara, which we're going to deal with. That's the suffix that they were dealing with in the base medrash, the Gabalda good discussion they had. So to ask the Pnei Yehoshua, how is this any different than this? They're the same. Because the Zen chaser, when we isolate it, doesn't mean it. We're like doing science experiments here, right? Which is the active ingredient. The Zen chaser is irrelevant, because when we isolated it, it didn't make you chayiv. It's Grama ben Azikin and Pagar. So the Zeh Choser is not the operative element here. What is Zeh Nene? How is this any different than Zeh Nene? Here for sure Chayim. How is it any different than Zeh Nene? Zeh Lo Choser. That's the Kasha of the Pnei Yehoshua. Well, why are you Chayim here? We'll have to get to how is it different than the Suffolk, but why are you Chayim over here? You must be Chayim because of the Zeh Nene alone. You must be Chayim because of the Zeh Nene alone. That's the what you see, says the Pnei Yehoshua, according to Tosfos. We're going to have to figure out how is that different than the Shaila of the Gemara. But that's the Kasha that the Pnei Yehoshua is asking. It proves it must be a Chai because of the Zen and alone, according to Tosfos. Yeah?
Can you just say that it actually is that you need both? Maybe without one, it's not. It doesn't mean that the other one is the cause. Maybe it's the.
You do need both. The question is, which is the operative one and which
why
is not?
Can't it be both? Why does it have to be? One is a plus and one is a subtraction. Why can't it be
together? Because 0 + 0 = 0. So if each one alone independently is not enough, how does the combination of the two make it enough?
I don't know how.
0 + 0 can't be 2. So if Zeh Choser is Grama ben Azikin, how come? Obviously you're right, but we have to figure out which is the operative one, and then we'll have to figure out why does it need the other one. What is the operative one, according to Tosfos, has to be the Zeh Nene. That's why you're obligated to pay. And that's why we have a suffix over here about Zeh Nene. Is that Lo Choser? Maybe you are Chai because at least you were Zeh Nene. The Nene over here is the real goreim for why you're Chai. That's the active ingredient. It might need the Zeh Choser to activate it, but what over here is the driving force of your obligation is not because he lost. It's more about the fact that you benefited. It's more about the fact that you benefited. And this point is made by the Rashba. Chaver, look over here at the Rashba. Chaver, what do you pay for Nezikin? Mina Idis or from Beinonis? Nezikin is? We learned one thing in the first parak. Yeah, Nezikin pays? Meitav, Idis. So if this were because of his loss, would be Nezikin, should you pay Mina Idis or from? Could you pay from Beinonis? Pay from Idis. So ask the Rashba, Sha'alta Masha Shanin, Parakesa Ragel. Achla Mitoicha Rechava, the Mishnah said, if my animal eats your produce, your picnic fruits in the middle of the Rosh Harabim, I have to pay that which I benefited. Is that because of your loss or because of my benefit? Mahi Mishalemis, Min Aliyo Min Abemonis. Do you pay from the, Idis? Is it because of your loss? Or do you pay from Beinonis like every other chov, every other obligation? Okay. What does the Rashba respond? Two lines from the bottom. Tshuva. Nearly hadavar bara she'eino mishalim min ha'aliyah. You do not pay for meitav. Lo ashkan afilu chatzin nezik the mishalim min ha'aliyah. Even chatzin nezik the payment ha'aliyah. V'kol shekein hachad afilu chatzin nezik and mishalim ha'mamash ha'nenes. Here, this is not an obligation of the Zikin. This is not about the fact that you lost. It's Grama bin Zikin. Why do you have to pay? You have to pay because you benefited a monetary benefit. What kind of obligation is that? You didn't lose at all, says Tysus. Because the loss is Grama bin Zikin. So it's not because of your loss. That's not the driving force. The driving force is because I benefited. Why do I have to pay? Because I benefited. So it sounds like from here that there is such a klal in Kol Torah Kulah, a unique principle, that if I benefited from your money, I have to pay you. It's not nezikin, it's not because of your damage. Anytime you benefit from something that belongs to somebody else, the Torah says you have to pay. That's what it sounds like from here. That's the conclusion of the Pnei Yeshua. Once you benefit, you have to pay. Perhaps that's the implication over here of this Gemara in Masechtas Ksubas as well. Reb Chaim bases this principle based on the Gemara Masechtas Ksubas. Look over here, the Gemara Masechtas Ksubas. It's somewhat of a difficult Gemara. The Gemara says the following principle. We'll make it simple. As we know, there's Kimlei B'Deramine. What does Kimlei B'Deramine mean? A guy in... Yeah, what?
Where's the two punishment?
Yeah. Only if they come about... Simultaneously. Same action, same time. So Misa and Mammon, which do you get? A guy, I rip your shirt on Shabbos. So do I have to pay you for the shirt? No, because I'm Chayv Skila for tearing your shirt. What about if I didn't violate something that's Misa's based in? It's only Kares. I ate your food on Yom Kippur. You know, Yom Kippur's Kares. Nichrasa. So that's the shayla discussed by the Gemara Masechtas Ksubas. The Gemara quotes from Nechunya ben Akona. This is what half of the third parak of Masechtas Ksubas is about, the opinion of Nechunya ben Akona, that who applies Kimei b'deravine even to Misas, Misa b'dei Shamayim, even the Kares. Rabbi Nechunya ben Akona, Oysa Yisrael Mekipurim, Kishavas l'tashlumen, Mashchabes miskai b'navsho, potem min ha'tashlumen, af Yom Mekipurim miskai b'navsho, potem min ha'tashlumen. Doesn't make a difference whether it's Chiyuv Misa Bidei Shamayim, Chiyuv Misa Bidei Adam. We'll go over here in the third line. V'amar Rav Chizda, Chizda says, Moideh Rav Chanun ben Akoneh, Nechuni ben Akoneh is Moideh, if I steal your food, v'ganav chelbo shel chaveru v'achlo, and I eat it, here it's the stealing chelev. Chelev is prohibited to eat. And I give it to you, va'achlo. Sure, no. I steal your chaylev and I eat it. So what happened? I stole your chaylev, which is prohibited to eat, kares. But and it belonged to you. So do I have to pay you back? And I violated the isur of chaylev. So the Gemara says that Rabbi Nechunya ben Akoneh there agrees that you do have to pay, even though normally it applies kimay b'dirabinei to misa b'dei shamayim. Here you do have to pay because it's not simultaneous. Why? Shekvar nischai b'geneva kodem shabo u'deis ha'chelev. How did I eat your chelev? I stole it. That's geneva. Oh, and then I ate it. Okay, that's not simultaneous. I become chayv in one before the other. You don't apply kimei b'dirabinei. I'm with the midin and the agbe kanya. The minute I pick it up, I'm chayv. Mischai b'naf shalo havi ad ha'ochele. Not chayv until I eat it. So Gemara says, no, ha'chanami be'in adagba. You can have a situation where it also occurred at the same time. Igme kanya. Mischai b'nafshu ha'vi adochle. Oh. So Gemara says, no, ha'chumai is kinan. Kigon shetachav lo chaveru lo toich piv. That your friend, you didn't pick it up, your friend took it and put it in your mouth. Meaning a third party. You have chaylev. Someone else took it and put it in my mouth. So when did I end up stealing it? The same time that I'm eating it. Simultaneous. I didn't pick it up when I'm chayev for gneva, then eat it, then I'm chayev for chaylev. He put it in my mouth, so the minute that I'm taking it...
What's
that going to mean? Huh? Going to mean a ganef. Someone else put it in my mouth. How come I skin going to talk about chaver or toich piv? Now the Gemara says, still, when you chay for chaylev, when you swallow it, when you chay for gneiva, the minute you start chewing it. So if so, if came in the law, say kanya, mischay ben afshul, havi adabola. It's still not simultaneous. The Gemara says, no, I'll come up with a case where it is simultaneous. Keep going. Should talk of loy l'soich beis ablia, a guy stuck it in to my, like, Sigmund says, what are you talking about? If a guy stuck it so far into your throat, you didn't do anything. You're an inus. Hekidami, idem mati la dura nahadar. If you can cough it up, cough it up. Ilam mati la dura. If you can't, am I chayiv? You're an inus. Sigmund says, lo tzricha de mati la dura ayidei adchak. You could cough it up, but it'd be difficult, so it's not an inus, but yet it happens at the very same moment. It's literally getting consumed at the same time that you're taking it. So, according to Menachum ben Akana, you would be... you would be part from paying. Yeah.
Isn't this a case of low chaser? Because, like, what benefit can you really get from chaylev, the guy? So, like, what are you taking from him?
Again?
Like, you're benefiting, right? Because you're eating it, like, yeah. You're swallowing it. But the guy that you took it from, what is he going to do with the chaylev? Like, it's treif, it's like usher to him.
Yeah.
So meaning, why would you be...
Well, you could sell it to a non-Jew. It's not prohibited at all. No. You could sell it. You don't have to eat it. They sell all the trefa parts of an animal. So over here as well, Esub Chaim, the following situation. Why are you obligated to pay here at all? Dinei sha'alti mikfaris pi, mori v'rabi, that's Reb Chaim. Deuchara hot tfiyas mashana, hu ketfiyas chayv milva. The type of money got both. What this guy is asking over here for, let's say like this. The same moment I take out a loan from the bank, I take out a loan from the bank on Shabbos. Would you say, Kim Le Bidiravine, I don't have to pay back the loan because I took it out on Shabbos? Let's say it would be at the exact same moment. You know, I sign the closing docs on Shabbos. Pater! Kim Levy the Rami. Would you say such a thing?
No, because taking out a loan isn't an issue.
I signed the documents.
No, but you were only going to call Shabbos. There's no issue in taking out a loan just any time of the
I agree.
And you were saying that the Kim Levy the Rami would apply when you're doing two issues simultaneously.
I'm Chayev Mamon and Chayev Misa.
It's not missing.
Here I'm chayv. Okay, you're saying excellent. I would phrase it slightly differently. Here, I don't owe the money to the Torah. I owe the money to you. Same thing, just a different angle. When do we apply kin levi d'rabbeinu? When it's two obligations that the Torah imposes. Here, this is man-made. So too, yeah?
I don't know if this was just the example you gave earlier or not, but if you rip someone's shirt...
Chiyuv mazik.
Oh, it's mazik.
That's what Torah imposes. But Baruch Be'er asks Reb Chaim over here, let's say I eat your item. My animal eats your item. So I have to pay back what I benefited. That's mashanenes. That's like taking out a loan. Why does Kim Levi D'Rabbeinu get me out of paying for the chaylev that I ate because you stuck it so far in my mouth that it was at the same moment that I swallowed the chaylev as the moment that I took it from you? I should still have to pay mashanenes. That which I benefited, that's like taking out a loan. I ate your food. I have to pay you back. The beer says, Reb Chaim, Dukhara Hatfiya Mashano, who could feel Schaiv Milva. That's like signing loan documents on Shabbos. Of course you still have to pay. That's between us, not between me and Hashem. The Tova Mimoni Gabach. You have my money, give it back. The beer din mashano, ain't din mazik shatova tashlumi achavis or tova tfias achavis atzmo. I want my item back. I'm not asking for it because of damages. You have something of mine. You got a monetary benefit. The type of your money got bought. Give me back my money. How can you be potter for the chayv that you ate because of kimay b'deramine? This is not a Torah imposed obligation. V'heishiv li. Says Reb Chaim. Reb Chaim answered me. The tfias mashano havi gam kein milvak tzuva b'toyra. That's an obligation that's imposed by the Torah. If you derive a monetary benefit from your friend, you got to pay back. And that's the same thing over here. That's the operating principle for Taisus of Zeh Nenev. Zeh Chaser, it's not primarily because of the Zeh Chaser. That's Grum ben Ezekin. Obviously, it plays somewhat of a role, and we're going to have to dissect that. But that's not the operative component. It's because of Zeh Nenev. You benefited a monetary benefit. That's a milva haksuva b'toiro. And therefore, you have to pay. Oh, we're over time. Okay, so we'll have to see tomorrow. However, there's an important me'iri over here. This has to do with Sharchonis. Okay, Sharchonis, then we'll have to get. There's other opinions over here. Taisus quotes the Rif. Okay, we'll have to see. Okay, Sharchonis.